The order, do you want to do roll call?
Commissioner Maxig.
Present.
Commissioner Parra.
Here.
Commissioner Santoyo.
Here.
Commissioner Yep.
Here.
Chair Mendez.
Here. Maura, you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
All right.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Take comments from the public. Any person wishing to address the commission on a subject not listed on the agenda may do so at this time. Thank you. Does the board have any potential conflicts of interest?
I have one potentially, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if it's a conflict or not, but I wanted to maybe get some guidance. So being from the city of Clovis, I've got lots of individuals, organizations that have been supportive of me. I noticed on item 6 under the Peach Beheimer Southeast Reorganization, there's a number of names and organizations listed of which I don't recognize any of those entities as contributing to me, except the Ricuti family has been a supporter of mine, and they have, there's an entity that has that Ricuti name into it, listed in it. So is that something where I'm going to have to abstain on this particular item?
Yeah, Chair, Commissioner Maxig, I believe you're referring to the Levine Act, which prohibits commissioners as yourself from participating in a decision that is in which they've received a campaign contribution of $500 or more in the prior 12 months from a party, a participant, or an agent of a party or participant. The party is generally under the Levine Act, the applicant. In this case, that's the city of Clovis, not the parties that you mention. And a participant under the law is someone who actively opposes or supports the application. So if those parties that you mentioned come up and speak in front of the dais in support or opposition to the application, or if they've done so to LAFCO staff or to yourself directly, then they would be a participant and you would have to recuse from consideration of that agenda item. I'll also note as well, LAFCO law, the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act, Reorganization Act of 2000, permits appointed commissioners from cities and counties from participating in items regarding the cities or counties in which they're appointed from. So there would be no conflict of interest from you taking participation in that action just because the city of Clovis is an applicant.
All right, thank you.
And then for clarification also, I sit on the Kerman City Council as Mayor Pro Tem. There's two proposals on the consent calendar that were in front of the city of Kerman. I voted to the Kerman on both of those. So I believe that I am not having to recuse myself on those issues, but I just want to verify.
That's correct. Under that same Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg government code 56331.4, you would not need to recuse because you were appointed as a city representative, Kerman.
Was that a yes or a no?
I'm voting.
Okay. Okay. Is there anyone on the board? I'm going to move to consent agenda items that wants to pull anything off of consent.
So moved.
No. Wait a second.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Is there anyone in the public that wants anything removed off of consent and voted separate?
I will note, as long as we're talking about conflicts of interest, my firm does represent Consolidated Irrigation District for Sub D. They are, this application would be detaching from Consolidated Irrigation District. As far as I know, we haven't participated in any of that,
okay,
any of this application so far.
Okay, I'll accept.
Motion to accept.
Motion from Danny. Got a second. All in favor is going to be saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Okay, we'll move to regular agenda items. First one will be on six. Okay, so who's going to present?
That's me. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Today, for your consideration, we have Peach Beheimer Southeast reorganization initiated by the City of Clovis, consisting of the annexation of approximately 42 acres in detachment from the Fresno County Fire Protection District and Kings River Conservation District. The proposed reorganization is considered uninhabited, which consists of five registered voters residing within the affected territory. However, the proposal is not 100% consent, meaning not all landowners or registered voters have consented to the proposal. Notice of hearing was given pursuant to state law and commission policy. As of today, no formal protests have been received. The affected territory is within the Clovis sphere of influence and contiguous to the city limits. The territory will be developed consistent with the Clovis General Plan and the Heritage Grove Master Plan upon annexation. The subject territory can be readily served by the city's sewer, water, and storm drainage infrastructure. As part of the initial study, the city conducted a water infrastructure investigation prepared by Provost and Pritchard Consulting Group for the subject territory upon development. Additionally, the city engineer has issued a will serve letter stating that the subject properties are within the city's service area for water and also Fresno Irrigation District. Staff recommends commission approval by entertaining two separate actions. Action one addresses the CEQA component with LAFCO as acting responsible agency. And action two addresses letters A through G, having received no protests for the proposal as detailed in the staff report. This concludes staff presentation and I am available for questions.
Okay, is there any public comment on this item? Any comments from the board?
Just a general question. Are we able to take action one and two? You said, do we need to do that separately, or can we combine them in one motion?
I believe separately.
They
can defer to
they
Jesse.
They need to be separate.
Okay, perfect.
The first one is to approve the CEQA documents. Okay. Okay.
Second.
All in favor, so we're saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. And the other one is to approve items A through G in the staff report.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second, and I'll note for the record, City of Clovis is here if we had any questions, but yeah. I don't think we do.
Yep, thank you. We got a motion, a second. All in favor, so we're saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item seven. This is also a two-stepper.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair, member of the commission. Today, for your consideration, we have Shepherd Minnewawa Northeast reorganization initiated by the City of Clovis, consisting of the annexation of approximately 200 acres and detachment from the Fresno County Fire Protection District and the Kings River Conservation District. The proposal is 100% consent, meaning all landowners or registered voters have consented. However, since the proposed annexation has 18 registered voters, it exceeds the requirement to be classified as uninhabited. Notice of hearing was given pursuant to state law and commission policy. As of today, no formal protests have been received. The affected territory is within the Clovis SOI and contiguous to the city limits. The territory will be developed consistent with the Clovis General Plan and the Heritage Grove Master Plan upon annexation. The subject territory can be readily served by the city's sewer, water, and storm drainage infrastructure. Additionally, the city engineer has issued a will serve letter. New development in the area will be required to demonstrate adequate water availability. Staff recommends commission approve by entering two separate actions. Action one addresses the CEQA components with LAFCO as acting responsible agency. And action two addresses letters A through H, having received no protests for the proposal as detailed in the staff report. Staff is open for questions, and the City of Clovis is also in attendance should additional questions arise. This concludes staff presentation.
Any questions from the board?
I'll have a question from the city of Clovis when it's opened up to the public.
I have one question. So Fresno Irrigation District submitted a letter. Was that a letter of support or what was the letter specifically?
The letter.
The letter was in support for the annexation. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to open it up to the public.
So actually, if I could have a representative from the city of Clovis. So my question as it relates to Clovis is, with this annexation, you're moving west a little bit from the existing city limit lines. You're bounded roughly by Beheimer and Sunnyside, if Sunnyside went all the way through. So with these annexations, I guess my question is, I know that this is an annexation hearing, but with developments, there are plans that the city of Clovis has to make improvements on both Beheimer and Fowler Avenue, correct? I'll note for the record that the city of Clovis says yes. That's all, the only question I had. Thank you.
Shook his head in affirming. All righty, so we got two deals. The first is to approve the CEQA documents. Is the first deal.
So moved.
Okay, got a motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor, go saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion carries and approve items A through H as detailed in the staff report.
So moved again.
Okay.
I'll second it.
You'll second that? Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, we'll move to item 8.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Commission. I will take this item, the update on the status of Cal LAFCO. Can you go ahead and hit the lights as well to help? I worked very hard on these slides. I want to make sure you can see them. So just a quick review where we fall in the allocation tiers. We are one of the top paying tiers for the CalLAFCO membership. There's currently 13 other counties that pay in this top tier. Of course, one of our last time that we did lose a few of those top tier paying members. We are still at 4 counties that have not renewed their membership. There's been no update or word on if any other counties will not renew their membership as well. Of course, if anything changes on that, I will provide additional update. What is this one? Okay, we are still under the assumption that LA, San Diego, and Orange County were likely only gonna sit out for 1 year. As long as the policies and bylaws changes take effect, that will likely return next year once those are more favorable to all members involved. The interim executive director for CalAFCO, again, is in place until around June. They are anticipating a full replacement to take around 6 to 12 months. So they're trying to figure out if anyone is available to take over between June and when the final executive director takes their spot. Some new items to review. After their board retreat on March 20th and their April 4th board meeting, they are looking to implement a 6 to 9 month action plan, and that will likely cover a top to bottom review for restructure that can include potential regional boundaries shift, a potential fee structure shift, and a potential structure of the board shifting as well. So they are basically implementing a number of workshops and outreach to the different regions. They want feedback from staff all the way to commissioners. They want to know what CalAFCO means to you and really, you know, what can it do better to be representative of all LAFCOs throughout the state. In conjunction with that, I have been voluntold to help organize the central region meeting for that. That should be coming hopefully within the next few weeks for scheduling. So they're wanting to move very quickly on this so that any policy changes and whatnot can be implemented by the annual conference in order to be put in place as soon as possible. So with that, there is currently no budget on the CalAFCO's end to negotiate a place to hold these meetings. If it does end up being in Fresno, we'll likely have to work with CalAFCO to find a venue that can hold somewhere around, anticipating about 100 people. So with that, there might be a little bit of an expense on our end that I think is worth chipping in on. We do have room in our training budget to cover that. I just want to give you a heads up that we're essentially trying to do our part to make sure that CalAFCO stays afloat and we can still have that meaningful representation at the state capitol. With that, our current recommendation is still to renew our membership, and we will give, you know, 6 months and a year, unless directed otherwise, give regular updates on the status of how things are going. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions from the board?
I have a question. Brian, what's the value of being in that organization?
So the main value of being a part of CalAFCO is having a meaningful voice at the state capitol. Whenever there is new laws being proposed that may impact LAFCOs individually, regionally, whether it be positive or negative, we want to make sure that we're keeping our finger on the pulse to that, as well as being able to have a voice that is heard at the state capitol that should hopefully be unified, you know, from CalAFCO itself, and really show that we are trying to make sure that whatever changes are being proposed are done so with, at the very least, meaningful input from all the LAFCOs throughout the state. That would probably be the main benefit. There are other smaller benefits. We get to go to several conferences a year that help staff in their training to learn more about how other LAFCOs are tackling certain problems, help prepare ourselves for the future to address those, as well as help other LAFCOs learn a little bit more about, you know, okay, here's a similar project we had, and here's how we approached it. Like any other piece of law, it's always subject to interpretation. So what can be written out sometimes can be viewed one way versus another. And so getting together to help navigate that together really gives a second or third perspective on things that we might not think of otherwise if we're just on our own. So I believe there's meaningful value there. We've been members for as far as I know, we've been participating members. And of the concerns that have been brought up, I believe the changes proposed are meaningful steps to correcting that and making sure that we are taking the right steps to go back to a unified voice.
And that was my second question. You know, there's obviously reservations by pretty meaningful LAFCOs, and so I wanted to get some clarity as to what's their reservations, you know?
Yeah, so really what kind of occurred was at every annual conference there is a change of the board. Whoever serves as chair would step down, and then they would usually step up from secretary, treasurer, and vice chair. They take 1 year and they step their way up. What happened this last year was the person that was supposed to be the chair was retiring, and the person that was supposed to be vice chair was stepping back from their LAFCO responsibilities. That left two seats open. That practice that they implemented was basically only tradition. It wasn't spelled out in their policies or bylaws. And so really the two logical solutions that the concerned LAFCO saw was either, renominate a person from that region to fill those two seats, or bump up the two people from the bottom all the way up and then nominate the two bottom seats. Instead, what happened was there was a vote to call for basically a whole nother, we're going to accept nominations for every single seat on this board, which, of course, kind of rubbed some people the wrong way as far as how they thought that should go. And because it was not spelled out in the bylaws and policies, there was really nothing they can do to stop that. So that was their main concern as to why they felt they needed to step away until those policies were changed. And again, the steps being implemented are meant to address that specifically.
Are there LAFCOs that have actually quit? You're talking about some that have deferred, but is there anybody that's actually walked away?
Of the three that have of the four that are not renewing their membership, the one that we're fairly certain will take at least a few years is San Diego. They most likely will not return for a couple years at the least. Currently, the only other counties that are not participating and haven't for some time is Tehama and Kern.
So can you give us one example of some form of meaningful legislative action that Cal LAFCO did that benefited Fresno County?
I would say probably a lot to do with when a lot of like the GSA formations, there was a lot of laws that were put in place there. We had to keep a close eye on that. That impacted the valley very heavily. I can't think of any other ones. Jesse, do you recall any other big changes that implemented us specifically? I mean, regionally, probably there have been some.
Us specifically, I can think of SB 938, which we implemented to dissolve an inactive district without participation from the district. That was a new law that was supported by CalAFCO.
And I will say a lot of times that we do have cases pop up where special districts are trying to propose certain laws that would basically allow them to circumvent our process in general. So it doesn't specifically impact us, but all LAFCOs, to give special districts that ability to, you know, kind of implement different activities that they see fit without the actual, you know, due process that LAFCO needs to oversee.
Now, is Fresno County's participation equal to any other LAFCO on there, or is there some form of weight involved in terms of voting value? In other words, does like a big, you know, LA outweigh us where our vote is diminished, or is it uniform?
It's currently uniform. We anticipate keeping that part of the same as far as the restructuring. We want to make sure that every county has an equal voice for subject matters. Yeah.
Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure that we were getting value out of this. It sounds like we're getting different values of legislative. I think you mentioned staff get some training out of it and so forth. So thank you.
And just to let you know, I was supposed to be president last year, I think, and I had to back off my duties. They were extensive, but San Diego threatened to quit every year. That was their thing every year because they wanted more toys in the sand, right? And one of the reasons they also backed out was they took away the legislative committee. So that took away your voice at the Capitol. But that's one of the things they put back in, or they're putting back in, and that's why these folks are waiting for the year for it to come back. Because that's important. If you're going to go out and fight, yeah, so they had taken it out and just put it back in.
Anybody else? So we'll just let it ride, I guess.
Yeah, as long as commission is okay with it, again, I will provide updates as we go, 6 months and a year, unless directed otherwise. I will also likely provide one more at next month's hearing just to make sure no other items have popped up between now and then for your consideration, because that will be the last chance before the final budget is voted on.
All righty, we'll move to item 9.
All right, I'll take that one as well for our proposed budget and work plan for the upcoming fiscal year. Just to review, we actually are currently 400% above our application fee target, which has been a really busy year for us, but also really good for fee revenues.
Why do you believe that popped up?
For how many applications we got this previous year?
Yeah, it sounds like we're 400% more than we were projecting, right?
Yeah, we did take the two budget cycles ago. We were above target as well. We didn't jump a lot closer to where that landed. Just to be on the more conservative side, we want to make sure that We have the allocations cover what we need, and the thought process is if we have a surplus of applications come in, we can roll that over to pay down allocations the next fiscal year. But as far as the number of applications received, I believe it's a combination of the lack of the MOU between the county and Fresno forced a little bit of more development to occur in outlying cities, and that finally caught up to where they got the ball rolling on that. And now at the very end, once they got that going, the MOU was put back in place. So all those projects that were ready to go are starting to cycle through the tunnel now. So I think it was a combination of developers realizing, hey, there are other cities that we can go out and work with. And by the time that got movement, you know, that kind of caught up all at once. So looking at the proposed budget, some key considerations here. Again, I'm only proposing a $25,000 increase in fee revenues from the previous year. Again, that's not going to put us at where we landed this budget cycle, but we want to make sure, again, that we're making sure allocations cover our needs. And then next budget cycle, again, if we end up coming in over, we can, again, roll that over to continue paying down allocations. Our interest revenue is confirmed to be above $13,000. And going down to the very bottom, our increase overall for the budget is 12%, but because we did so well with fee revenues and interest revenues, the actual allocations impacts to the county and the individual cities is closer to 3%. We will dial that in for the final budget, but again, it is a lot less than anticipated. Go back real quick, sorry. The salary resolution committee, we will get together and meet and have that report to you next month before we review the final budget. And in addition, this year to the work plan, instead of just saying here is the list of MSRs that we need to target overall, we decided to specifically identify categories that we want to work towards whenever we don't have fee-driven applications. So this year, quote-unquote, during the slow times, we'll be targeting fire and police districts, mosquito abatement districts, and pest control districts. So we're hoping to knock a few of those out over the year and then keep going down the list that way. We found that just throwing up a big list of what we need to do, we wanted to target some actual, let's try to put some targets and some goals to strive for specifically. So before you have your proposed budget, last year the revenue summary came in at $782,000. That will be going up this year to $876,000. But again, the allocation difference is only roughly, you know, $10,000 for the county and $10,000 to be split between all the cities. So while a 12 to 13% increase overall, again, only comes out to about a 3% hit to the allocations. With that, happy to answer any questions that you may have on what is proposed.
Any questions? Apparently not.
Okay. This means I did a really good job, I guess. Or just talk to you all to sleep, one or the other.
Either that or we're asleep. We didn't care anymore.
The lights need lower.
There you go. All right, so I'll go ahead and take executive officer comments, if that's all right. For the upcoming May hearing, you'll have your typical minutes on consent. We do have a project from Kerman. We will also have on the regular agenda, it'll be time for the new chair pro tem to be nominated. We will see if the city selection committee has anything to report on from Fresno COG. If they end up not, we'll just pull that from the agenda. We are hoping to have Raisin City wrapped up so we can have their MSR presentation as well as Del Rey CSD. We will provide a salary resolution committee update, and then review our final budget. You also have attached in front of you your February financials. And I do also want to note for CalAFCO, we did receive a letter from the interim executive director, and you also have a summary of their planning retreat. Again, this just goes into greater detail, the actions they're looking to take to right the ship. I do want to give a special thanks to staff. They coordinated, prepared, and participated in three major presentations, one to Reedley City Council. They put on a workshop for county public works and planning staff, and they provided a presentation to the Hinton Community Center Board. All of that we received very, very good feedback on, and they did a fantastic job on that. I also want to thank our interns. This is most likely this group's last meeting with us. So George, Jason, Elizabeth did a fantastic job for us, and I want to extend our thanks and wish them nothing but the best in the future. They did a great job. And that is all my comments.
Okay. Any commissioner comments?
Just real quick. So just PayStub Services, which is one of our vendors, I guess it does payroll for us. How often do we go out to bid for that?
We have not been out to bid in quite some time. I guess we can take a look at what some competitors' info might be for that, and we can report back for the final budget.
Okay. Just curious. And it really has nothing to do with the budget per se. I was just looking at transactions and curious about that. So that's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor is going to say an aye.
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 We are adjourned.